of what Hebrews 13 verse 8 says and the implications. I guess it would be good if I got out of the Acts thing. Give me just a minute and I'll bring up that other. Forgot to do that between. But go ahead. In Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. There's a song that we have in our books that we don't sing, I don't think, here very much, if at all. But it is, time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. It's a good song. I think we ought to sing that. Probably most of us know that. It would be a good song to sing from time to time to remind us of the things where we need to be putting the emphasis, that things here change from time to time. And as we get older, those of my generation, we've seen so many changes. And when we think of seeing changes, most people think, well, how Mountain Home has grown since I've heard people talk about that. My, how Mountain Home has grown since I was small. And where I live used to be a cow pasture and that kind of thing. And of course, you hear those things. And I think when people say that about Mountain Home, well, I grew up in Conway. When I moved there in 1952, it was 10,000 people, and I think now it's 70,000 people. So things have changed in this world, but that's such a small and unimportant thing as far as the changes that take place in cities and the changes that take place outward. Things more importantly take place when you're young and you start a family. Then your hopes and your dreams are built around that relationship, that husband-wife relationship. And things sometimes happen beyond our control. There are those in this audience who now are widows or widowers. And your hopes and your dreams have now, they're just things of the past. That you'd and time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. The scriptures tell us plainly that all things that are purely human are things that change and things that decay. Isaiah said it in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field." We're not seeing it this year. This is an unusual summer, isn't it? I think the last summer I remember like this one is the year that Michelle was born. Believe it or not, I can remember that summer being a cool, wet summer in the summer of 1970. And the same thing is true this year. So when we think about August in Arkansas, you don't think about rain, cool, and green, do you? You think about hot, dry, and brown. That's normal August in Arkansas. And so in the spring of the year, the rains come, it warms up, things turn green, the flowers are everywhere, and then August comes. And it gets hot, and it gets dry, and things turn brown. And this apparently is even markedly more so in Palestine, because I've never been in Palestine, but I've read about the sirocco, the east wind, the wind that comes off the Arabian desert from the east. I've been in something like that in Nigeria, in what's called the Hamatan, where the wind comes down from the north off the Sahara Desert, and it comes bone dry. And just drying air and full of dust and just drying everything out. And apparently that's the way the sirocco, the east wind, is in Palestine. It comes off the Arabian desert. And I've been told that overnight the heat from that wind can dry out and you'd see a pasture that's full of flowers, lilies, and things of that nature. And the dry sirocco, east wind, comes off the Arabian desert. And the next day it's all brown. And all the grass is dead and the flowers are gone. And what was beautiful and green and flowery is now just dead and brown. And so that's the way people are. That's the way everything human is. All of our hopes and dreams that are purely for this life, that are purely for human. And the older we get, the more we see of that. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. And here he's calling the east wind the breath of the Lord, because the Lord is responsible for that. And the Lord is responsible for the fact, because, now, one of the ladies this last week brought it very, very well, that everything bad in this life is the result of Satan, not the result of God. But God allows that. And, of course, it's the result of sin. And so, all these things, the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. All of us here, we're just like that grass out in the field. And one thing about that grass out in the field, it may survive the summer, but it's not going to survive the winter. It's going to have the frost come and then the snow come, and it's going to die. And so everything human, we're grass. We're just like that grass out in the field. We're going to die. The grass withers, the flower falls. But one thing stands forever. One thing is unchanged, unchanging, unchangeable. The word of our God stands forever. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I want to talk about that this morning, that there's one person that you can always rely on. He will never, ever change. He won't become unreliable. I've had friends just recently, a preacher friend of mine, that was just like a brother, and I mean a brother in the flesh to me, has apparently proved himself to be unreliable. And it was just someone that I put a lot of trust in and found it to be very, very troubling. But I know those things happen in this life. There's people that you thought you could put your trust in, and you find them to be unreliable. And there's things that happen that we have no control over. Your spouse may die. The person that you trusted above all else and relied upon, built all your hopes and dreams around. And those things, there's things that cannot be changed and that we have no control over those things, regardless of all that we try to do. But Christ always remains the same. We can always put our trust in him. The statement of Hebrews 13, verse 8, and I'd really like for you to look at it in your own Bible, because there's something I want to point out that probably you can see in your own Bible. I have on the chart, but you can't see it on the chart, which says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you have the New King James, and I think the same is true in the Old King James, I don't remember right now, that the word is in italics. You see that? And that means it's added by the translators. So this really has the nature of an epitaph, something that you place up there and remember forever. Literally translated, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Our Lord changes not. Everything I know here changes and will change. I'm getting old. I'm old. One day I will die. I will be gone. Whatever good or harm I can do here will be past. Jesus Christ remains the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I want to see what the implications of that statement are. What does that mean to us from a practical standpoint? Well, the basis behind it is that Jesus is deity. He's God. He's divine. And because of that, in his essential nature, he is unchanging. There's some things about Jesus that change. Jesus became a man. Jesus died after he walked upon this earth for about 33 years. And he's gone back to heaven. And we could say from the standpoint of he was a man for 33 years. He's still a man, by the way, in heaven, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. But from the standpoint of him being a man, that Jesus changed. And so this is not an all-encompassing statement. There's some things about Jesus that change. But it's one thing, in fact, there's several things about Jesus that we're going to see. that they always remain the same. And this is the basis. You may have friends that once you could rely upon, that you can no longer rely upon. I'm that way. I have friends that once I relied upon that I found out that they had feet of sand. I can't rely upon them anymore. And you will have friends like that in your life. You may have someone that's very dear to you that you find to be that way. I haven't been that, and I'm grateful for that. But nonetheless, there's one who remains always dependable, always there for us, the one that we need the most. In Hebrews chapter 1, the first chapter of the book of Hebrews is stating Jesus' role as God's spokesman, God's prophet in this age. And he's showing the superiority of Christ as God's spokesman to Moses as God's spokesman. That Moses, as great a man as he was, Moses was a man. But in Hebrews chapter 1, the inspired writer, probably the Apostle Paul, we can't prove that. But the inspired writer gives us 7 Old Testament passages which affirm the deity of Christ. One of those he quotes in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. If I remember right, it's Psalm 102. Check me on that. I don't remember for sure. But in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, "And you, Lord, in the beginning..." Now, this is talking about Christ. We know that because the inspired writer says so. "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of earth." Jesus Christ, as the Word, was there before the worlds were created as God, deity, divine. And He's the one through whom God created the heaven and the earth. "And the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain." Scientists call that the second law of thermodynamics, or the law of entropy. In a nutshell, well, the way they state it, in a closed system, things tend to disorder. Things run down. You stop after you've driven for several hundred miles, and do you let gas out of your car, or do you put more gas into your car? Well, it's in essence a closed system, and you have to add energy because it runs down. You have to add, so that's the second law. And the whole universe that applies, the universe is running down. That's one reason we know it hasn't been around forever. And so because of that, we know that things here, this whole universe, not just people, this whole world, people, we're going to save the world. Good luck. That ain't going to happen. One day God's going to send His Son Jesus Christ and this world will be burned up. And I'm not talking about global warming. You talk about global warming, we're talking about universal warming. It's going to be destroyed by fire. All things here change and decay. That's the nature of things present, things that are material, the entire universe. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. Yes, this world is changing. This world is running down. But Christ remains the same. He's God. He's divine. He's deity. His years change not. His essential nature is both unchanging and unchangeable. People change through the years. You've known people that one time you said, they must have had a personality transplant. You know, what happened? Maybe they had a brain transplant. What happened to that person? They're not the same. That happens to people, doesn't it? But it doesn't happen to Jesus Christ. He always remains the same. Every good gift, James chapter 1, verse 17, and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. But this is true of Jesus because He also is divine. Notice carefully. With whom there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. Just Friday night, I think, we were talking about that total eclipse of the sun that's supposed to take place later this month. And that's a shadow cast by turning. Because of the movement of the heavenly bodies, the shadow of the moon will come, or the moon will come between the sun and the earth, and will cause a total eclipse in a certain area. And some folks are going to drive up there up north in Missouri to be there to see that total eclipse of the sun. I'm sure it would be a very fascinating thing to see. But that's a shadow cast by turning. It's things that change. There's no shadow cast by turning with God. God is the same in his nature and his essential will as he was before the world began. As he was with Adam and Eve, as he was with Abraham, God always remains the same. There's no changing with God. And the word of Christ is unchanging and unchangeable. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus prophesied about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and of the Jewish nation. The Jews didn't want to hear that. But in verse 35, Jesus made the statement, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away." This whole universe, somebody will be destroyed. But the word of Christ will always remain. When the world, when the universe is on fire and all things here cease, the word of Christ remained the same as it was in the day when he spoke and prophesied the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and of the Jewish nation. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, you know, there are various religions that are predicated upon the fact, or not the fact, their belief that the gospel was lost, that is something that's mutable, that is changeable. According to our Mormon friends, the gospel was lost, and Joseph Smith restored the gospel when he found looked into a hat and read what was supposedly the angel Moroni revealed to him on the golden plates. All this, by the way, is a figment of his imagination. Back in the early, about 1830, somewhere along there, at Palmyra, New York, in the Hill Cumorah. And he said the gospel was lost, and the angel Cumorah revealed the gospel that had been lost to Joseph Smith. That's what the Book of Mormon is. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. In 1 Peter, and by the way, the Muslims believe that Christ was just the sixth prophet of God, and Muhammad is the seventh and the last prophet of God. So he took the place of Christ. Absolute, total nonsense. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again out of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, something which cannot decay, of incorruptible seed, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flesh." Where is he quoting? That's Psalm 40, or Isaiah 40, isn't it? "Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Now, what is that word? "Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." No, the gospel hasn't been lost. And for those who worry about, well, maybe there's lost books of the Bible. Absolute nonsense. The gospel has never been lost. The gospel will never be lost. When this world comes to an end, the gospel will still be here when the world is on fire. The word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will remain the same. The creeds of men change. If you were a Catholic before 1960, you believe that all Protestants were damned and on the road to hell because they weren't Catholics. In 1960, Vatican II, it was changed, and if you're a good Protestant, you're okay. And they became ecumenical. You don't have to be a Catholic in order to be saved. After 1960, well, what do you know? Nice change after 1960. Of course, it's all pure nonsense, isn't it? If you were born before 1911, if you were a Methodist, then you were born lost and on the road to hell because you were born inherently totally depraved, born lost. If you were born after 1911, then you were saved when you were born. That's because the Methodist discipline changed in that way, on that date. Absolute nonsense. All things, even the doctrines of men, and new and popular doctrines come along all the time, I had a preacher friend that once I had confidence in, and along came a doctrine called the AD 70 theory, that all the prophecies about the return of Christ were fulfilled in AD 70, and there's no return of Christ for the future. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sure looking forward to that. But nonetheless, and he fell hook, line, and sinker. That poor man died in that state of believing those nonsensical things, that all of the prophecies concerning the return of Christ were fulfilled in AD 70. And new doctrines come along on a regular basis, and people are carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. But our God and His Word and Jesus Christ remain the same. Don't be swayed by things that come along. He remains the same until the end of time. And there's three relationships. Now, after time is no more, He will remain the same. But there's three relationships that Christ has to us that are very, very important for us that we must not be swayed away from. And all of these from the book of Hebrews. He is God's prophet. He's the spokesman for God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He is appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. The word of Christ contained in this book is always the same. Don't let anybody move you away from this. New doctrines come along on a regular basis, but this always remains the same. Christ is still God's spokesman. Till time is no more, Christ is always God's spokesman. He remains unchanged and unchangeable. He's still God's priest, or He's our priest. He's our high priest. He represents us to God, and He pleads our case before God, and our salvation depends upon His relationship to us as our high priest. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. But He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. The high priest of old died, and a new high priest came along from year to year, from time to time, but He remains forever. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Christ is always here to make intercession for us. He's always dependable. He's not going to die like the high priest of the Old Testament. He's not going to change. He always remains the same. And He is always our King. He always has the right to tell us what to do. He always has all authority in heaven and earth. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, but to the Son He says, your throne, O God. Notice, your throne, He's King, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Those things never change. As long as this world remains, Jesus is God's spokesman. He is our high priest, and He is our King, and He remains that forever and ever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the time when those relationships that He has to us will end are shown in 1 Corinthians 15. But they won't end while we're living on this life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 through 26, then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts it into all rule and all authority and power, for He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Jesus will no longer be King when He returns. The premillennialists think He will return and become King. He's King now. When He returns, He will turn the kingdom back to the Father. He'll no longer be our high priest. We won't need Him then to minister for us on behalf of our sins. There will be no more sin. There will be no temptation. The devil will be cast into the lake of fire. No temptation in heaven. And He will no longer be God's spokesman, because we will be in the very presence of God. Those relationships will change when time is no more. But throughout your life, throughout time, those relationships remain unchanged, unchanging, and unchangeable. And so, and this is the very application that the inspired writer of the Hebrew letter makes of the unchangeableness of Jesus Christ, we must not be carried about by various and strange doctrine. Those are interesting words he uses in Hebrews 13, verse 9. Do not be carried about. That phrase, carried about, has behind it the idea of a ship being blown off course in a storm. You know, like in Acts chapter 27, where the ship that Paul was in was blown off course and was wrecked. And so don't let the ship of your life be blown off course and wrecked. Are you listening? By two things. By various and strange. The word various literally means varicolored or multicolored. Doctrines come along that are all different. And then it says strange. And that word strange literally means foreign. But it's foreign to us because we are in the kingdom of God. And these are things that don't come from the kingdom of God. Doctrines of men. Doctrines that are concocted by men. For it is good, he says, that the heart be established by grace, the grace of God, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Now, apparently, these remember Jewish Christians he's writing to, the Hebrews. And apparently, they were being disturbed by people, wanted them to go back and keep the old Jewish dietary laws. You know, we still have people like that today that believe you got to keep the old Jewish dietary laws. And do you know what that the inspired writer says about that? Those people have not been profited by being occupied, but there's no profit whatsoever to keeping the old Jewish dietary laws. And I'm thankful for that because I enjoyed a piece of bacon for breakfast this morning. But now those old Jewish dietary laws, and by the way, I'll have my catfish from time to time too, and shrimp, all those things that you cannot eat. They're not on the Jewish dietary diet. But nonetheless, people think that has some merit. There's no merit to that. There's no profit whatsoever to those old Jewish dietary laws. Don't be preoccupied. But the point is, anything that you cannot prove by the New Testament, the gospel of Christ, the will of Christ, has no spiritual value. Jesus Christ remains the same yesterday and today and forever. Don't be moved away from those things which you have seen with your own eyes, which you have learned or taught in the New Testament, the Word of Christ. Don't be the way some of the brethren were apparently in Ephesus, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There's always false teachers coming along plotting to get people to accept something so they can get money or popularity or other things from them. And what should happen to that kind of people? Galatians chapter 1 verses 6 through 9. I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. He doesn't mean an entirely other gospel. It means a gospel that's been changed. He tells us that in verse 7. Which is not another. There's not an entirely new gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert. The word pervert means to change to the baser. The gospel of Christ is perfect. Any change in it whatsoever is a change. If you change perfection, what have you done? You've perverted it. You've changed it to the baser. Any change in the gospel is a perversion, a change to the baser. What about those who do that? Verses 8 and 9. But even if we are an angel from heaven. You know, it's interesting. The two most popular men who said that they bring a new revelation that takes the place of the New Testament. Muhammad and Joseph Smith. Islam and Mormonism. Both of them said what they got it from an angel from heaven. Even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any of the gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Anathema. Utterly cut off from God. Now, that's strong enough, isn't it? Well, it wasn't strong enough for Paul, so he repeated it for emphasis' sake. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any of the gospel, either what you have received, let him be accursed, anathema, utterly cut off from God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The gospel that you learned when you became a Christian, don't let anybody move you away from that. The gospel that you know, when you get out your Bible and you read it and you see what God teaches, don't let anybody convince you that there's something better, that he knows something that you haven't seen there with your own eyes. You can read it for yourself, that if you haven't seen with your own eyes in the gospel, the word of Christ, Christ changes not. He remains the same yesterday and today and forever. We can depend on him. We can depend on him as our Savior. When we go to him as our high priest and we pray to the Father in his name and depend on him, and we can know he's always there for us. He always remains the same. We can depend on him as God's prophet to always reveal to us the will of God. His word is unchanging and unchangeable. We can depend on him as our king to always give us those things that are best. We can depend on him as our Savior. Everything human changes. Christ never changes. He remains the same. There's another song. I brought the songbook up here because I don't think you know this one. And I'm going to try to teach. Not right now. Maybe this Wednesday night we'll begin to try to learn this song. Number 461. Just look at it in your songbook. I've got it here. Number 461. And I won't sing it. I'll just say it right now. Just look at the first verse. Amid the changing scenes below, where many come and many go, my wistful heart will oft cry out for one who stays, who changes not. I've lived long enough. Some of you in this audience have lived long enough. We've seen so many changes. I'm not talking about Mountain Home being bigger. I'm talking about changes in people. People that you depended on. Maybe they're dead and gone and they had no control. Or maybe they just changed. They're not the same they used to be. All things, people can be so undependable. And people can become just absolutely callous to other people because, and we must not become that way, because there's someone who never changes. He changes not. Christ changes not. Though I should be by all forgot, my friends may forget that I ever existed, but Christ doesn't. He's still there for me. He still remains and will remain my precious Lord who changes not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He's always there to save our souls. If you need him, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar.